Okay, we're really heading the official. The official topic for today is going to be in Halacha Bav. But first, I have to say something from Halacha Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. I'm not going to read them inside, and that's because Halachas Gimel, Dalet, and Hey are all about handles that are broken, that are not working, or that are stuck in, they're half stuck in, all kinds of things about them. Not to get to us because we do Tefillas Kelim on new Kelim. It's not a usual situation we have like that. We're going to actually have one question about handles when we get to Halacha Tes and Mitzvah Shem, which talks again about handles. A particular side of the Taka is relevant to us. But what I'm going to mention just for these dinim is, and that's why I'm not reading it, that there is a din about handles. We've talked about this before. Now's to me the right place to mention it. And that is, the Daki Tshuva brings, is it here? I don't remember if the Daki Tshuva is here. The Daki Tshuva brings from the Bechacharov. You most famously probably know from the Eishel Avram in Erchaim. You also have a Sefer Das Kedoshim on your day. But it took me a while to find the Sefer because in the Daki Tshuva it says, Ein Bekuntres Tes, Lahagoyin Baal Dalet Kuf. Okay, and I didn't know what those things said. What is it? Bekuntres Tes, the Baal, and yeah, but it turns out that it's about Das Kedoshim, that's it. And he has a Kuntres, what? And Tes stands for Tfilas Tahara. Okay? But that's not the name of the Sefer. That's what's called on the inside of the Sefer. On the outside of the Sefer, it's called Amoros Tahiris. Okay? And it's called Amoros Tahiris because it's this little booklet. It's because, first, he has a whole bunch of things about Tahara that follow the... It's an acrostic for Amoros Tahiris. The first one is with an Aleph. The first one is... Achar, and the next paragraph starts with the word Meachir, and the next paragraph starts with Radim. So it's Amoros Tahiris. You should remember that. I'm not sure how anybody would remember those. But then it has goes according to Aleph days. I just found it interesting. I'm sorry if I bore you. Then it went according to Aleph days, Hilchas Nida, Halachas, in the order of Aleph days. The first one is Imisha, the next one Bahasaras, the next one is Gevulah, the Aleph days in Kibble. And then the second set of Aleph days is about Tfilas Kelim, mainly. And then there in the letter Nun, in the letter Nun, it starts with Nimshach, Mehakli, and he says like this. He says, if you have a Kli that's made of a material that needs Tfilah, for us, we'll say it's a metal pot, and has on it a handle. In his case, it's wood. We'll say plastic. Okay, you have a plastic handle on it. So plastic, be'etzem, doesn't need tefillah, or in his case, wood doesn't need tefillah. But it's the handle on a pot that doesn't need tefillah. It's a handle on a wooden, on a metal pot. Okay. So he says that handle. I'm a little adding some explanation here. He says that handle, since it's considered part of the kli, so just like the metal part needs tefillah, the wooden part, or for our case, the plastic part also needs tefillah. It has to be under the water, and it can't have a chatzitz on it. Okay? It's considered part of the kli, and since it's part of the kli, just like the kli has the dinim, it has to be under the water, and it has to not have chatzitzes, so too the handle, which theoretically doesn't need tefillah, it's plastic, or it's wood, he says it needs tefillah also. Okay? So, I didn't see anybody who specifically was talking about this, besides for him, who says this. We had once before, I had two, like, indications. We've talked about it like that. One is that the Rama says, if you have a kli that's made of metal, I'm sorry, of wood, and it has a metal part on it, and the Rama says, if the metal part is functional, it's part of the spout, which is functional, then you need to tefill it. Okay, and the implication is you need to tefill everything. Okay? He doesn't say specifically, but the implication is you have to tefill everything. And the second is, Ramosh has a tshuva, which Ramosh is going to talk about again two times from now, has a tshuva that if a person has a hot plate, an electric pot, I'm not sure exactly what it was, an electric pot, and he says, and the pot, so the part where the heating source is, doesn't touch the food. And the pot part, the part that touches the food, needs to be because it touches the food. It's a clay suda. So he says, this is the part that's me for then, since they're considered two different kalim, therefore you don't have to talk about the electrical element. Okay, we're going to talk about that then, about why that's true. But the implication is that were they to be considered one pot, if it was not, if you couldn't treat them as two pots, you treat them as one, you have to talk about the electric element part of it also, even though it's not having to feel it, it's not clay suda, because it's overall, you look at it as one big kli, and if the kli needs to be looked, part of the kli needs to be looked, then the whole thing needs to be looked.
You spoke about it by the needle of the
curing. Yes, I was about to say that. We talked about it two times, once about the needle for the curing, that even, that the needle of the curing is exactly what the Rama talks about. The needle of the curing, is the Rama didn't have a curing, but it's exactly what he's talking about, which is, you have something that's made of plastic, but, and it has functional parts that are made of metal. The needle is functional. Without that needle, you'd have no coffee. You need to have that needle over there, that the course that the whole thing seemingly is hiding tefillah.
What about a pot and its cover?
A pot and the cover, I mean, we had that, didn't we? Are they considered one clear, two kelim?
Right.
Yeah, we actually talked about it. I didn't remember that case, but we had talked about that.
Remember the course that you had a tefillah?
Yeah. We talked about it then. We talked about that, yeah. Let's not.
And you have the chiyur about the plastic parts of the kelim.
And then the second one is very good. Is that the second case is about to say, we read my notes this night. Paying attention. So what happens when we try to make an urn that should be owned by a yid from the very beginning? So then we talked about that what some of the people do is, the yid makes a kinyan on the metal parts, thinking that the metal parts is what needs tefillah. So if I own that from the beginning, then it was my kli. And we talked about, well, what about the fact that if it needed tefillah, the plastic parts would need tefillah also, and he doesn't have a kinyan on it. Okay? Well, whether that's exactly done or not, it's not so clear. Okay. So that was the argument that maybe since there's nothing to make you chayev, then the plastic is potter. So we say, no, this is a clean that theoretically, overall, this is one for clean. What's the question then? I didn't say that's a question.
Sounds okay. Like you have to tell me the electric cord.
That's going to be in two times. We're going to talk about that. Okay. So now let's do halacha vav. Okay, now in halacha vav, I'm going to read you, we're really going to talk about the Ramah. I'll read you the Mechaber already also, because the Mechaber we're going to talk about for next time. The Mechaber says like this, kli shekofa piv lamata. If you take a kli, think of a bottle, and you turn it upside down, the opening is facing down, and you stick it into the water. In piv tsark tsas, if the opening is very narrow, and you didn't turn it right side up, then we also feel, which we better have an empty one of these bottles, but also it feel doesn't work. Why? If you turn the clean like this and stick it into the water, if this would be empty and you stuck it in, water won't get to the top because there'll be an air bubble. Okay, there's going to be an air bubble inside the clean. Unless you turn it like this, the air bubble won't go out and it won't work as a tefillah. We're going to, Mir Tishon, talk about that next time. In Zion and Ches, the Mechaber comes back to this thing about an air bubble, about Mir Tishon for next time. Okay, so for now, just we're going to ignore that. Okay. The Ramah says, Mutter litbal kli besoch kli. You can be tovel one kli inside of another. Im yesh bepi hachitzan kishreferes hanoid. If there's an opening of a shveferes hanoid in the opening of the outside kli. Okay, so let me just explain that for a second, then we'll read the rest of the Ramah, which means is if you have a kli, if you want it to be terrible, this, I wish I needed a pot over here, something bigger, this inside of another kli, the rule is that for the water inside the outer kli is not kosher for tefillah unless it's connected to the mikvah with what's called the shofar's hanoid. A shofar's hanoid is about 2 inches. The Mechaber says it's the width of the two fingers next to your thumb. The place contains 5 centimeters, and it's about 2 inches. Okay, unless you have a certain opening. Okay, you're familiar with this. You've seen this, whether you realize it or not. You've seen this when you look inside of a mikvah. You see it's connected. One the place that you tovel in. That has water that they change all the time, is connected to the place with the rainwater, and there's an opening there. Okay, there'll be an opening between one and the next, on the side or on the bottom, there's an opening, and that opening, you'll notice, is a couple inches across, and the point of it is that it should be kishaferes hanoid. That kind of an opening is considered a connection. Anything less than that is not considered a connection. Okay, so the Ramah says you could tovel one kli and another. If the outer kli has an opening of kishaferes hanoid connecting it to the mikvah, then it's all considered together, and you could tovel on the inside kli. Okay, that's what we're going to come back to.
Even if a person, would that be a kosher mikvah for a person?
Yes. The point is, once you do kishaferes hanoid, I believe then that's not, it's considered now, it's not a kli, it's bottled to the mikvah. I'm not going to talk about it for people. I've been looking about it for kelim now, but, now, Vizar, I'm going to read the rest of the Ramah. It's not negetas. We're going to get just free. Vizar kli hapnim yirafu vizar kli achitzen. Now the Ramah says, wait a second. If you put one kli into another, you're going to have a problem that the inner kli may not be surrounded by water. It's going to be touching the outer kli. So make sure that it should be loose so that the water gets in. You shouldn't put a knife. I think he means this in like these holders that hold knives that you poke them into it. So you put it into it. If you dunk the whole thing in with its outer holder, you see this in kitchens. They have a knife poked into a hole. Then the point of the knife, the blade of the knife, won't have tefillah because it'll be touching this holder. There's probably a name for these holders, and it won't get into the water. Okay. The chain im hakli apnimi hu kaved umunach techachitzen. Also, if the inner kli is very heavy and it's inside of the outer kli, it's in before you put it into the water. Lesal tefillah the makam shemunach. It won't have tefillah the place where it's sitting because that part is so heavy it doesn't get water underneath it. Vayin el simrish al reish al seftes, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Okay. So What did the Ramah say? The beginning of the Ramah, which is the part we're going to focus on, the Ramah said was, if you have a tefillah of one kli inside of another kli, you have to have a hole that's a kishur sferas or not. Okay? But the Ramah is saying is, it's from a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah, in case you're curious. It's a Mikvah's parakvah of Halach Mishnah Beis. That one time, in other words, you have to have this hole that's a kishur sferas or not. Okay? Sounds easy enough. The Rishonim ask, This is our din. Okay, what the Ramah says, which is from a Mishnah, that an outer kli has to have an opening of kishur sferas. Okay, I'm making to a chart because you're going to see is on the left side. I'm going to show you there are going to be two Mishnahs and two Gemaras that are going to be seemingly associated with each other. Okay, and then we're going to say three answers that Rishonim or early Achronim give to those questions. Okay, that's what we're going to see, and then we'll see that as we go on the Halacha L'Maisa part of these different answers to these kashas. Okay, so the first is our din is. That if an Arab, the Ramah, which is a Mishnah, says, if an Arab kli, you could tell them one thing in another kli, the Arab kli has to have an opening that's Kishra Farazin. Okay. Then, there's another Mishnah. Okay, it's a few Mishnahs later. I think it's Mishnah Hay, in the same parak. Okay, and the other Mishnah says, you could do, if you put Kalim into a sock, okay, that's the case we're going to pick from that Mishnah, if you put it into a bag, into a sack, you stick a bunch of Kalim into a sack, and you put them into the mitzvah, it works. Okay? Doesn't say anything there about a shafaris anayit. And the assumption is that a sack doesn't have a shafaris anayit. It's a... What? So the assumption is you're not dunking it in all the way in. But we'll see about that in a second. Okay? We'll see about that. So the assumption is you're dunking it in. The thinking is that the person is doing it just like an hour did. He's trying to avoid his kalim falling into the mitzvah, so he puts them into the sack. So the Mishnah says nothing about having a shafaris anayit. And so the assumption is that it would not have one. Okay?
The water goes through.
The water goes through. But there's no kishafaris anayit. There's no kishafaris anayit. There's no hole that's kishafaris anayit.
It's full of holes.
That what?
The kli has one opening.
So right.
As opposed to where the water is going through it.
Okay, we're going to see different answers. We're going to see different answers. I'm going to give you the questions first. Since there's going to be three answers, you're going to probably mechamed to someone's answer, no matter whatever you say.
People often use like a net bag for cutlery.
Right, okay, the same idea. That this Mishnah says you're allowed to do that, okay? Okay, the next is, the Gemara in Chagiga, the Gemara has two cases. Okay, first the Gemara says that you could do tefillah inside of a basket. Okay, when it says do inside a basket, it sounds like the Mishnah I just said to you, that you could do inside of a sack and a basket. It sounds like basically like the same thing. So we have the same question. I mean, so whatever works for this is going to work for that. Something, this is not like our din. Okay, but the very same Gemara says, that if you have a basket that splits a mikvah, then you can't use it for tefillah. Well, wait, so what's going on? For whatever reason it works to travel in the basket, what's the difference if the basket now, if it's, what's the word of the Mishnah? I don't have the words in front of me.
If you decide less than Shemekva,
that's gonna be our answer. But the Gemara says if you have this basket in the middle of the mikvah, then you can't do it. Okay, so mikvah shechokah b'sal in the basket. Okay, so what's going on? So we have these four cases: okay, two Mishnahs and two Gemaras. Okay, that we're trying that the Rishonim are going to give three, and two Rishonim and an early Achron are going to give. Excuse me, three different answers. How to answer these dinim, and we'll see the halacha l'maisa application of these cases. Okay. There's going to be three answers here: a ravio, and a chacham tzvi, and a rash. Okay. The first is going to be the ravio. The ravio says like this. He says that the ravio says the ikka part of the ravio shita is if you have a lot of holes together, they can be mitzuref to make a shafaris anayit. Okay. So we have to have a shafaris anayit. That's for sure. You have to have that. You do. But if you have a lot of holes, then you can have 50 holes that are each very small, but together they're kishur feres anayit, so then things are good. So in the second and the third case, the second Mishnah and the first Gemara, the reason why it works is a sack's got a zillion holes in it, okay, and so does a basket, it's got a lot of holes in it. And it means is that there's enough holes to make it that there was all together kishur feres anayit. Of course, a kli doesn't have holes in it. A kli is relatively solid, so it has one hole. So the Mishnah says it's got that hole has to be kishur feres anayit. But if you have a sack or a basket, well, a basket, you're talking about a wicker basket. A wicker basket has got lots and lots of holes in it. So if you have a lot of holes in it, so then it's served, and you could and that works. Okay, but he says also so. Okay. In our case, I think this is coming next. Now, okay, so it's just one hole. Yeah, good. Okay, lucky me. There's only one hole in it. There's only one hole, and that's why it has to be Kishaferis in it. Okay, so the case that's the hardest to understand, according to the Rav Yehuda, is why is it if the mikvah is split by the basket, is it not good? What's the difference? The basket, it's the same basket, it's got the same amount of holes in it. So the pshat is that in that case, it's talking about that the mikvah does not have a full mikvah on either side. Okay, so it's mikvah shechoka desal means you split it, not that you just happen to put a divide. You literally split the mikvah in half, that there's only 20 on this side and 20 on that side, no, 30 and 10. There's not enough mikvah on each side of it. So over there, even though tzirif works, tzirif does not work to create a mikvah. It only works to stretch the mikvah. Okay, to make the mikvah go from here to there, that's good. But if you need it to make the mikvah, that does not work. Tzirif only works if you have a complete mikvah ready. Okay, so according to Rav Yehuda, okay, we
so even though there's water in the basket, which is connected to the water on both sides,
but if there'd be a shefaris hanoi, then it would be one big mikvah. If there'd be one hole that would be that big, that would be fine. But if you want to be mitzarif all the holes together, that won't work. If you had one big hole, that would be fine. If you had one really big hole, that would be fine. But a lot of little holes, you can't be mitzarif them. Tzirif only works when you have a full mikvah. Okay, the Machaber and the Rambam Paskin, it's in Simon Reish Aleph Sifn and Beis, Paskin like this Rav Yehuda. They pass like this Rav Yehuda. The Shach and Taz don't say anything, and the implication is that they're masking to this thing. Okay,
even two holes together, is that multiple holes? If two holes together makes sure they're not good.
So, it's actually, there's one of that point I'm not going to say, someone who brings up this and says, no, it has to be a lot of holes. It's not clear where that would come from. Okay, the Rav Yehuda doesn't say that. The Rav Yehuda just says, you could do a tower of holes. Okay, it doesn't give an implication. In the cases, it happens to be there are many holes, right? A sock or a basket, there are many holes, right? You think of a basket, the wicker of a basket has a zillion holes. It's not so clear. And if it is, what would be the shear? There's two holes, or three, or four. What? Okay.
If you put a mice into a mat and just put the mice literally just above, beneath the surface of the mikvah, is those small amount of holes going to be a shear tonight?
You mean if there won't be enough holes in it?
I'm asking you.
It potentially will not be. Let's say he had a fancy case. Let's say you had a thing that doesn't have a shefer sonoi. Okay, I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. Well, Chayra, the Rav Yehuda would hold that it's not kosher. Let's say you had a basket. Yes, he said there's only one hole. Let's say there were five holes. Okay, in between the five holes, it wasn't a shefer sonoi. So it would not be kosher according to the Rav Yehuda. When we say that those cases, I don't know. It's not for me. When the Mishnah said that you could do it in a sack, it's the assumption that all those holes together make shefaris hanoi. If it would not be, then it would not be good.
Okay, I just wondered, is that really true? In a sack, all the holes together make shefaris hanoi.
Of course.
Well,
could be if you have one pound more of a lemon, anyways.
Then what?
You don't need anything. So.
That's not the obvious sheet. We'll come to that in a second.
Okay, sack is a sack. That's first of all,
But I guess the assumption is it has so many holes in it that probably.
That's a double code question. So we figure out the holes.
It's coming second. Okay, so according to the Rav Yehuda, we understand why. I think this is on the next slide. We understand why in Kelim Mitzvah. They have baskets in them. Okay, it's exactly what the Mishnah says. You could title in a basket. The basket has a lot of holes in it. Between those holes, you have a shefaris hanoi, and it works on one condition. And the condition is that the mikvah has to have in it 40 saw besides what's in the basket. Okay, in other words, the question doesn't work if there's no 40 saw in the basket. Now, it happens to be
no 40 saw in the basket.
If there's no 40 saw out of the basket, out of the basket.
So you can't stick the basket in such a way that it goes from top to bottom in the center of the mikvah and divides the mikvah.
So in this mikvah that this picture is taken at, in the thing that you see in front of you, there are barely 40 saw of water. Okay, there was barely 40 saw of water, and if you stick the basket in too deep, there will not be 40 saw outside the basket. Okay, now.
Not even on the side?
Right.
The basket, put the whole basket in there.
If you put it in relatively deep, I did the math if you want later, it would not be 40. Now, but it happens. But
it's covered over it anyway.
If you put the whole thing in there, it has shefaris hanoi in one place.
If this was really an issue, they would put a hole, a shefaris hanoi high up on the basket. Okay, but.
You can take out one of those cross sections of plastic and you have
shefaris hanoi. Right. But the truth is that in modern mikvahs, it's uncommon that this is the rainwater that you're sitting in. Really, there's water underneath it. Okay, whether this mikvah has it or not is a question. But we can talk about that separately. But in a typical mikvah, I'll talk to you later. In a typical mikvah, there's 40 saw, it's connected to something else. Thank you. In a typical mikvah, what?
It's very sharp.
Reeds? No, that's in New York. So in a typical mikvah, there's connected to another place that has the 40 saw for real, and what you see in front of you is just like a spillover, okay? Now,
why does that basket on the left have the holes on the bottom?
Why does it have holes on the bottom as opposed to what?
Somebody made holes on the bottom. It came with just holes on the side that somebody would...
Probably to help make it sink there. That's probably the truth, okay? Or maybe because they want to hold like the Rosh. We'll see in a second. Maybe they want to hold like the Rosh. Maybe they're really smart.
Okay.
Probably not. Probably just make it seem. Okay, now. The same kind of a issue about if there being 40 saw outside is, in the Tui mikvah, there's a lucite shelf, a plastic shelf in the middle of the kelim mikvah so that your kelim don't fall down. Okay, if that shelf does not go all the way across. It only goes, let's say, halfway across. If it were to go all the way across, all the way from one side to the other, and just have little holes in it, and it would not have 40 saw underneath it, we'd have the same problem. Okay, it would be mamash a mikvish chokah besal, in this case a mikvish chokah belusite. Then, if according to the Rav Yoh, if there wouldn't be 40 saw underneath it, then it wouldn't be kosher. Again, it's probably connected to a real bar anyhow. Okay, now, the last case we want to talk about is, which some of the Achorim talk about this, it seems like it's a real shayla comes up, which is, in the hashaka hole, in that hole that's between the rainwater and the water that gets changed all the time, they want to put a grate over that thing, and I assume they want to put it there so things don't move back and forth between them. Like somebody's spoon doesn't fall into there, or someone's towel, I don't know, it doesn't get stuck in between these things. They want to put a grate in there. Okay, so when they want to put a grate, think about what a grate is. A grate is going to have holes that are each less than shefer sanoid. Each one of the holes is going to be smaller than that, and the between them all, there's going to be shefer sanoid, because a grate has basically all holes. There's very little material there, so basically it's going to be enough if we mitzar off the holes. So, assuming there's a full mikvah on the other side, which we're hoping there's a full mikvah on the other side, the Rav Yoh would be happy about putting a grate onto there. Okay, we're going to see, these Achorim who talk about it do not want you to put a grate, because they hold like the other shittas. Okay, but the Rav Yoh would have been happy that you should put a grate onto there, because the let's say this five holes in the grate, they're mature together to make you kishvara sanoid, and he'd be more than happy with that.
It was exactly the right amount that it would have worked, because...
If the hole was made exactly 2 inches across, and now we put the grate onto it, we're not going to have full 2 inches. But nobody does it exactly like that. No one's like that. People are very careful, machmir, call what you want to, about mikvahs kind of thing. They make it very careful. There's some of the tshuvas that I saw here talk about people using a tefach across, okay, which is way bigger than you need to do. So whatever, if you look at the thing next time you go to the mikvah, you'll see it's a nice big spot, you know, 3-4 inches across. Okay.
Isn't that something that shefer sanoid is the same as pesach rimay?
That's what people consider that, and the tshuvas say no, there's no such thing. Okay, but there's such a talk about it. Yes, there's such a talk about it. Okay. So that's the first sheet that we had. The first sheet that we had was the Rav Yoh. Okay. Chacham Tzvi says, no such thing. There is no such thing as holes being mature. It doesn't exist. He says, I don't know the Mishnayos and Mikvahs. I can barely even find Mikvahs in my Mishnayos. And he says, in Mishnayos and Mikvahs, it says, every time there's a dim or tzir of work, it tells you the Mishnah, tells you the such a thing. He says, how come over here, if this was talking about tzir, the Mishnah would have told you. There are other places where when it wants to tell you that the such a thing is tzir, it tells you. It's not shy. So he says, there's no such thing as tzir. The only time that you can say that water from the inside connects to the water on the outside is if the thing itself is completely porous, which is to say, it's in a sack. Even the fabric itself doesn't prevent water from going through. The water goes right through the fabric. There aren't solid and parts and liquid parts. Even the solid parts, I mean, even the cotton or the wool that it's made out of, water goes right through that also. Okay, maybe if we are really scientific, we'd say yes, there are barriers, but essentially, water passes right through the thing. There's nothing stopping it at all. So in that case, you're not mitzaref the many holes. There is no barrier. The water on the inside and the outside is the same thing. The water goes right through. The Mishnah's Lashon is B'nei Shem Arben. Okay, the Mamsha goes right through, and that's why it works when you do tefillah in a sack, is because the water goes straight through.
So according to him, you could even put a sack in between the Bera Tefillah and the Bera Shaka.
Yes, you could. No, you couldn't put a grate. You can't put a grate because the grate has solid parts in it. You could only put a sack. Only put a sock, okay? If you wanted to, yes, you could put a filter. You could put one of the bug mesh schmatas, okay. You know? Okay, so the okay, so now that's going to help us explain most of the cases, okay? So we know in this case why you can do tefillin in a sack. We know in our case you can do tefillin in a kli, because obviously the kli's got solid parts to it, and that's why it doesn't work. And we know the last case, because when you put the sal across the mikvah, we understand that, because the sal has no holes in it. I mean, it has solid parts to it. Okay, so we have our only question is the Gemara who said that you could tie things in a basket. Why does the Gemara say you could tie things in a basket? Where the basket has holes in it, but the basket also has solid parts to it. So the Chazanish says that I don't see that the Chazanish answers this question. The Chazanish says, I'm sorry, there is diukim in the Chacham Tzvi. I don't see that he directly says it. The Chazanish says that what the Chacham Tzvi will say is that it's talking about that the guy submerged the whole basket in the kelim. Okay, and that's not the pashas. By no means is that the simple understanding that the guy stuck the whole basket in, but he put the stuff into the basket and he dunked the basket all the way under the water. But the point is, he so far under that the top of the basket had a shefaris hanoid. In other words, it's talking that there's a shefaris hanoid, even though it doesn't say that. Essentially, that's what's going on. The basket means you stuck it all the way in. Okay, by no means is that the pashas. Okay, now.
The
Mishnah could have
said,
you know,
say basket, whatever.
They
didn't say basket,
you
should say pot. You put stuff in a pot, you
could
submerge the whole thing.
I mean, had you done it, if you were going to be talking about it,
stuck
it all the way in,
then
the basket is not.
It's a basket, it's a
title. He's saying, you know, realistically, you'd want a title on the basket.
Right.
Okay, but I mean, you know, like, but come on, the other Mishnah said you could put one clean to another clean. It wasn't, you know, a perfect thing, so you can't do that. Okay, it's a fair question. This whole case, according to the Chamsi, is very. Not simple. Okay, it's not a simple way to read it. Okay, now, according to I don't know if this was my next picture coming. Yeah, according to the Chacham Tzvi, you can't have a basket in your mikvah. Okay, according to the Chacham Tzvi, I mean, unless you stick it all the way under, which is not what people are doing. According to the Chacham Tzvi, there's no such thing as tier for holes. Okay, so these are not porous. The plastic parts that are here, those plastic parts don't let water through. So these things you could not have. According to him, you could not have. Plastic basket in the mikvah. Okay? And the same thing is for other cases, our shelf or our grate over the mikvah cover, all those things would not work according to Chacham Tzvi, because there's no such thing as being mitzar of holes. The Ramah, when our Ramah.
Why was the shelf not
working? The shelf, it was all the way across. If it was not all the way across, then there's a shefaris on either side of it. Okay? So when our Ramah says, V'ayim le'el simen reish alef sif tes, if you look in sif. Reish Aleph Sif Tes, the Ramah over there says not like this. Okay, there's actually a question of Tirsas in the Mishnah, and the Ramah, the way he quotes the Mishnah, is exactly like what I'm about to say, the third Shita. Okay, not like the Chacham Tzvi. He says you can travel things in a basket in the mikvah. Okay, essentially that's what the Ramah says. Okay, so not like this Chacham Tzvi. Okay, third Shita is the Rash. Okay, the Rash says is. He says, he's in between these two shittas, between the Rav Yoh and the Chacham Tzvi. He says, the only issue is when you do tefillah in a kli. If you do tefillah in something which is not a kli, then that's okay. Okay? You don't need a shefaris hanoid if it's not a kli. Okay? Which is to say, it's like this. So in the case that Aladin is talking about, you're doing one kli inside of another kli, the other kli holds water. You put a spoon into a pot, the pot holds water, and therefore you can't do tefillah unless you have shefaris hanoid. But if you do it in anything else, if you do it in a sack or a basket, they're not kelim. Okay, they're not kelim. So they don't, the way he says it, it doesn't make them to shuvim. There's nothing, that basket that you put it into, or the sack that you put it into, they don't hold water. So it's not that the holes are mitsurif. It's not we're trying to, they are, the Rav Yoh said the holes come together to make a shefaris hanoid. He says, you don't need a shefaris hanoid because there's no barrier between the mikvah water and this water. This water is nothing. It's not in anything. It's in something, but that something doesn't, it's nothing that causes a problem for mikvahs. Okay, so the only thing that would make a problem is if you have something that has that holds water. Okay, a kli that holds water, like what we think of a pot, that's what you wouldn't be able to do now. Okay, so the only question we have left then, the one we're left not understanding is the last Gemara, which says if you have a solid.
Why doesn't it hold water in the sack?
There's no water? Because there's no water. Because there's holes. No, no, no. But it's not that the holes are mature to make a Shefaris Hanoi. Like, for example, like what he said before. What happens if you had many holes that were not a Shefaris Hanoi?
Yeah.
That would be fine. Doesn't make a difference.
Well, there's one hole.
Right. So you, let's say...
One little hole, bam, Shalom Aleichem.
Correct.
It's
not a
problem. No, it's not true. One hole, not a Shefaris Hanoi. It's the Perish HaBach. It's not good. You need a Shefaris
Hanoi. No. No. If the hole's on the bottom, he's saying, if it's a clay that doesn't hold water, if you put your hole on the bottom, instead of like the Norway put on the top, if you have three holes on the bottom that are not a Shefaris Hanoi, that's fine. We're not trying to be...
One hole, not a Shefaris Hanoi, the bottom would be fine.
One, that's correct, because it's not a clay.
It could have to be mamish, like... One hole on the bottom of a basket might not be...
So that's what I said to you. They were trying to be cautious for this Rosh, because if those other holes are like an inch off the bottom, if they didn't make holes on the bottom, then according to the Rosh, it would still hold water.
It's how long the hole has to be sure. I said, no, it's only it's on the side of the cleat, but it's on the bottom of the
cleat. If it's in a...
Be sure it's on the
right, in a, well, a normal cleat only has a hole on the top. And when you have a pot at home, you don't have pots with holes on the bottom, because there wouldn't be pots.
Oh, it's about the neck. It's
like a normal regular clay, it holds water. But a sack or a basket, they don't hold water. They're not meant to be kalim for holding liquids. They're not cool, so to be kalim. Okay, so according to the Rosh, I was going to say it later, but according to the Rosh, the holes don't have to be equal to Shefaris Hanoi. That's not the point here. The goal is not to make, we're not like the Rav Yoh who said, we're mitzarech all the holes together to make a Shefaris Hanoi. No, we're not trying to do that. We're just saying, if it has holes in it, it's not a clay. And therefore, we understand three out of the four cases, we understand more simply. The last case is that we're not going to understand. Why, if you put the basket across the mikvah, why should that make a difference? Again, that basket, it's the same basket. It doesn't hold water either. Okay? So, the answer to that question is, that in that case, the Rosh says is, if something is attached, then it's also not buckle. Okay, the way he looks at it is, when it's not a kli, it's buckle, it's tuffle, it's ignored, it's meaningless to the mitzvah. When something is attached, then that by its nature can't be buckle, can't say we ignore it as if it's not there, and therefore, mitzvah shechokah basal, it's attached, and since it's attached, reasonably attached, therefore, you can't use it, it is considered something that splits up the mikvah, and then unless you have one hole that's kosher Shefaris Hanoi, many holes are not going to help you. Unless it'd be one hole kosher Shefaris Hanoi, it wouldn't be work. Okay, now, so, what comes out is that the Rosh and the Rav Yoh both hold that if you have lots of holes that are not kosher Shefaris Hanoi, it could work, but they come at it from different angles. The Rav Yoh said it has to be through Tziruf, and the Rosh said it's because you don't have a clay. Okay? Also, the Rosh and the Rav Yoh both hold that we don't care if the space, the solid part between the holes is porous or not porous. It's not important. We're only looking at the hole part of it. If there's either many holes for the Rav Yoh, or there's holes to make it out of cleave, we don't care about the solid part. As opposed to Chacham Tzvi cares that is there a solid part in between or is there not a solid part in between. Okay. So the case of a nafkamina between the Rosh and the Rav Yoh is the great cover in the mikvah. Okay? According to the Rav Yoh, that when mitzarev the holes, if we have enough holes to make it Shefaris Hanoi, which we usually would, then it would be fine. You'll have to put a great cover over that hashaka hole. But according to the Rosh, you can't because it's attached. And the way the Rosh says, the way the Chazanish explains it, the great, something that's attached, it needs a full Shefaris Hanoi. So according to the Rosh, you could not put a great cover onto the hole between the one bar and the next in the mikvah.
So why did that attach in the case of the bottom case?
When it says mikvah shechok basal, I mean someone put something there. They attached it. It was divine. We're saying they kept it.
We're making it kept it.
No. It's chok basal as it's divine in the mikvah. That has a sort of feeling that it's attached to it.
You stuck it in there, or you stuffed it?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it has. I'm not sure how firm it has to be. I'm not sure how permanent it has to be, but if you put the grate cover, that's what we care about. The grate cover between the two bars, that's attached. Someone screwed it in, or they welded it, or so they cemented it, that's permanently attached. So according to the Rosh, according to the Rav Yoh, that would be perfectly fine. I don't care. So there's enough holes to make it together.
It's sitting there with gravity, like in a broad-gobbing bar.
And you just laid it down there. So I'm not sure what it takes to be attached.
It's not attached at all.
But it's permanent. So it's not clear. I ask, but it's meant to be there. I'm not sure. Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't think that anybody would do that. Yeah. I don't think they would really just lay it down there and not attach it somehow.
They want to service it.
They want to service the underneath bar. Right. You wouldn't think that, but maybe. I'm not sure. Okay. So the Rash again would allow you to put a basket into the mixer. Okay. Because every basket we have has plenty of holes in. Okay.
You're assuming the Rash doesn't hold the seer. Because there's no evidence, so you assume he doesn't hold it.
I'm saying the Rash... Actually, the Ramah holds both. The Ramah says both of them. So the implication is that you could hold both of them. But the Rash, there's no... I don't know what the riots are from the Mishnah, because in this Mishnah... Now, I have to tell you. Let me back up. I forgot to tell you something. I told you four cases. Okay, there are really many more cases in this big Shilin of Mishnah about how to answer all these steers up. Okay? So there are other cases which I'm not telling you, and some of them I don't even know. Okay? And so what just to say is maybe they'll rise from some of those other cases. Okay? But from what we see, if you said like if the Ramah says like the Raviyah, the Omitzar holds, then how does he know this other dinu, or the other way around? You know, if you hold of the Rash, that it as long as it doesn't hold water, that's with the Ramah almost Mamash says almost befarish the words of the Rash. So then what is he, maybe it doesn't hold the tzir of the nosa. Okay. So let's go through some cases. And then I'm going to tell you some of the later achronim where we're already running late. Okay. I'm going to have five cases here. The first is, would we let tziruf of holes? Okay, so the Rav Yoh is the only one who holds of tziruf, that you could put many holes together to make a shaveris anoid. Others, the Rash might hold that it's mutter for a different reason, but not through tziruf. There's no such thing as tziruf according to those. And would you allow tziruf in a sack? Basically, everybody says yes. Okay, I wrote usually for the Rav Yoh on those two cases because it only works if there's 40 saw on the other side. But that's usual. The typical case is there's going to be 40 saw on the other side. So basically, they're going to say yes. Okay. Would we allow teal in a plastic basket? Okay. So the Rav Yoh and the Rash will allow it. And the Chacham Tzvi will not allow teal in a plastic basket. And the reason why he doesn't allow it is because...
It's not porous.
It's not porous. Okay, it has a plastic. Okay.
So the Yeshua Malkin Lahakner, there's no reason why you go to a mikveh why you
should. No, let's
say dunk the basket deep enough and you're trying.
There are more passing
okay. Well, I'm coming to later Lahakner in a second, okay? But according to Chachansi, you cannot have a plastic basket in the mikveh, correct? I'm going to talk to Malkin in a second. What?
Let's push it down.
I mean, no, let's not push it down. If you're there, it's not a big deal. Push it down.
Okay, next. Okay, would we let a shelf if there was no shofar, if it was all the way across? So the Rav Yoh would say, it would depend if you had 40 saw below it, okay? And the Chacham Tzvi and the Rash would not allow it. It's not such a common childless. And the last is, I don't know why it says, all great cover. A great cover on a Hashaka hole. So the Rav Yoh would say that you could have it. The Rash would say you can't have it because it's attached. The Chacham Tzvi would say you can't have it because he's not Mitzar Folos. He has no such thing as putting it together. It's not porous, and you wouldn't be allowed to do it. Okay? So now, I written not to some of the Achorim. I told you already that the Machaber and the Ramah say like the Rav Yoh, and the Taz and Shachar quite, they sound like they hope like that also. Okay? Right there on the page, Dagum Ravava says, Ayin Chacham Tzvi, okay? Which has a certain implication that he holds like Chacham Tzvi. And there's somebody who printed notes of a shir that Rabbi Yashiv gave about these kind of questions. And in there, Rabbi Yashiv, he doesn't bring all the shittas, but he favors the Chacham Tzvi. Okay? And it even says in there that you therefore can't have a basket in your mikvah. Okay? Now, that, in those notes that were printed, in the original place, it says it was printed by someone who heard the shir. Okay? Then it was reprinted in Kovetz Shuvas, and there someone forgot about that part of the page. So it just says as if Rabbi Yashiv said it. So I
said what?
Just the whole thing is as if he wrote the tshuva. He didn't actually write the tshuva. It's in Chayot Dal, Kofiutai, I think it is. Someone wrote over what he heard at a shir. So I'm for whatever it's worth.
I'm not Makabal.
You're not Makabal what?
I'm not Makabal. Apostles cannot get to that more and other friends. He said he should be Makabal. Come see, that's as far as it
was. So if he would have written the tshuva himself, he has certain more credibility, yeah. But so heard the shir. Maybe he said, so there's a tzad to say, this Makabal has it, umameo, tzrichim machmer, the nigga that he said it doesn't come across in the... But in the printed tshuva, it doesn't say, in the book, in the Kovetz Shuvas, it doesn't say this was written by somebody else who heard the shir. But in the original journal, I saw in the original journal.
Well, we don't have Yashin to write things. We don't have any.
Okay, so in the original journal.
Well, 20 years ago, people can write because of Abba Yashin, because they don't, people are looking at the psych of the same. But
right. I mean, he wrote something. Actually, he didn't write nothing, but in this case, he did not write. I saw it first, not in Kovetz Shuvas. I saw it first in the journal. And in that journal, it says on the bottom, Nichtav Habair. Nichtav Aide Echad Mehashayim, or something like that, or something like that. I don't even think it says the guy's name.
Does it say how often, do we know how thoroughly Rabbi Yashiv checked over the printed, like what they were publishing in his name in Kenneth Struggles?
They printed if he was not alive anymore. I don't think the Chel Dal was printed in his life.
I don't think very thoroughly about it.
Yeah, I, they were just I people
who had barely made it. Right. Really exists, you know.
People who just, you know, pull things in. Okay. So on the other hand, the Chacham Tzvi is the only one who would not allow tefillah in a basket. Okay, what we do too, if you look at the chart and as we went through the Cheshbon, is the Chacham Tzvi is the only one who wouldn't let tefillah in a basket. The Ramah Beferu says you can do tefillah in a basket. The Ramah's mamash the words of the Kamat the words of the Rosh that you can do tefillah in a basket. And if you've ever been in the Kelim, they put every Kelim in the world's got a basket in it. Okay?
Yeah, we're not
empty bottle. It's hard to believe that
the board of
it's possible that a lady poured it. It's true. It's possible someone just poured without realizing it. But then somebody walked into there and they saw someone who knows the token that would see it. Okay, maybe. I don't believe that. It's every myth in the world, every Kalmuk in the world that you've ever been in has one of them. It's like a fixture. It's like part of it's like having goo gone next to it.
It needs to have a shofar somewhere. That means you can't take a box, make two little holes in it, and thing. It has to have.
So according to the Raviyah, you have to have enough holes to make your shofar sonoid. That's true. That would be true. So I was going to mention, that the Chazanish thinks that the Rosh is correct. Okay, the Chazanish is convinced that the Rosh is correct to the point that the Chazanish says, "I'm not sure if you should be machmir. What happens if the Chazanish picks on the other case? What would happen if the mikvah would not have 40 so on the outside of the basket? Okay, what would happen if there wouldn't be 40 so on the outside? So the Chazanish says, where the Rosh would be mekel." But the Ravio would not be. He says, "I'm not sure if you need to be machmir for the Ravio in that case." That's how convinced he was that the Rosh is correct. Now, the Chazanish doesn't look about the other case where there are five holes, but the holes are not enough to make a shofar sonoid. But seemingly, it should be the same thing. He said, "I'm not even sure you should be choshes for the Ravio." Even the Shulchan Aruch says like that. Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam pass like that. He says, "I'm not sure if you should be machmir for that because he thinks the Rosh is so correct." Okay, he says completely. The Chazanish says completely ignore the Chavtzi. He has a whole bunch of kashas on it. He says, "Ain lano diver harmishenim." Ignore what the Chavtzi. He says he has a whole bunch of kashas on him. He says, "Forget it. Just ignore that." He says, "But the Rosh he thinks is correct." The Ravio he says, "I'm not sure if you should be machmir for that. It isn't 40 so for our case if you had only a few holes in it." Okay, imagine they'd taken that basket, the small basket from that I showed you beforehand, and had no holes on the side. And the guy just filled three holes on the bottom that weren't kish shofar sonoid. He says, "I'm not sure if you have to be macro for that case." Okay, and the last is, a lot of these, there's a tshuva from Shlom Zalman, and I mentioned tshuva from Rabbi Yashiv, who talk about this great cover. Okay, so the great cover, the only one who lets you have a great cover would be the Ravya. He says you can be able to tariff the holes together. So Shlom Zalman says you should not have a great cover on it. It wasn't clear to me if he's saying like he sounds like he's going like the Rosh, maybe something like the Chacham Tzvi. Both. He says even for tefillas kelim that are glass that are only chayitim with rabbanan. He says even for glass you should be machil lechatchil. He says for glass in the rabbanan. Okay. He said you should not have a great cover, meaning not like the Ravya. So again. The way it looks to me, the fact that the Ramah says that you could tell on a basket and the whole world's got baskets tells me not the Chacham Tzvi, and the Chazanish is very strong against the Chacham Tzvi. And between the other sheets, the Chazanish favors the Rosh. There aren't as many nafkaminas between those two, between the Rosh and the Ravi. There aren't as many nafkaminas between them. Okay.